25th chapter in the first verse, Matthew 25 and 1. Matthew 25 and 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." Everybody read this aloud with me, the 10th verse. Let's read it out loud together. "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" Amen. 10th verse. "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." And the door was shut. "Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not.'" And I'd like to speak tonight upon this thought of, where is that point of no return? Where is that point of no return? Now, I am a preacher of positive. A positive God. A positive gospel. A positive work. Amen. Now tonight when I begin this message, it may seem to take on a negative note, but it has no connotations and no pointing toward that in that direction, because this will end up on a very positive note. I'm going to go two ways with this tonight. Amen. But I want you to know God is about to do some marvelous things in some lives. And He's got to have His people positive and upbeat and full of the love of God and full of travail and full of faith and full of believing and full of trusting Him. Hallelujah. Where is that point of no return? Amen. There is a place. Amen. And I want to preach about it a little bit tonight. I need this church to help me preach. So would you lift your hands and pray as Brother Lyman comes to pray. Let's believe God for miracles here tonight, church. Let's believe the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God. We thank you for this divine purpose tonight, God, that you're about to do. We thank you, God, for what's happening in this church. We thank you for the man of God, Lord. We thank you for your word and your spirit. Now, God, I'm asking you, Lord God, let it go forth tonight, God, and not let it find a place that's void and empty, God. Let it not find a place, God, let it find a place that is hungry and thirsty, God, wanting more of you, God, desiring more of you, Lord. God, I thank you for it, Lord God. Let it find a lodging place, God. Let it find a hungry soul tonight, God. Do your work, God, unhindered tonight, Lord God. Let your purpose and your will be done, God, through the ministry, God, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we'll give you the glory. God, praises to the name of the Lord. And everybody say amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. This message is born out of some questions that I have faced recently. Paradoxically, it is a thing that has happened from two sides of a perspective and question. That is that I have had people who were not living for God. Some of them were backsliders. Some of them had never come to know the Lord. And God's dealings had been strong in their life. And they have asked me this question, it's a good question, sincerely. Where, Brother Clark, is that point where God ceases to deal with a person? Now, I took time to deal with this because I felt it was out of a heart that did not want to be lost. Backsliders have asked me this because they were not trying to find how long they could stay out there. But God was dealing with them, and they were feeling that, and the pressure of it. Have I gone too far? Where is that point of no return? And then, and how unusual to have those that were already on the right side of Calvary. I've had, I don't know how many saints talk to me lately saying, Brother Clark, how can you know that you are really saved? Where is that point in your life that you can say unequivocally, without a doubt, that you have settled it? Where is that point that you say, I have crossed, and I know that all is well with my soul? Now, I feel that these two questions from two different sides of Calvary deserve an answer. And by God's help tonight, I'm going to answer it the best way that I can. I'm going to talk to you out of the Scripture. I'm going to talk to you about examples, trying somehow to settle it. If you're on the wrong side of Calvary, you might as well come on over. The water's fine. Hallelujah. Man, if you got questions, you might as well go ahead and let God take care of it in an old-fashioned altar. This is a bloody altar. You may not can see it, but there's blood from one end of this altar to the other. Hallelujah. And it flows from Emmanuel's veins. It is as fresh tonight as it was 2,000 years ago. Praise God. And if there are saints that are here tonight that are doubting and wondering and worrying and saying, would you please show me that point of no return? I'm going to try somehow by God's mercy tonight to paint you a picture that you're going to embrace and say, now I know in whom I have believed. There are pilots who make a regular route of traveling up out of Kennedy Airport, JFK Airport, across into the Paris Airport, or into Heathrow. They make that route on en route on a continual basis back and forth across the Atlantic. I have flown across the Atlantic into Heathrow. It is a long trip. I do not enjoy it. Coming or going, it is not anything that is pleasant. But any pilot that has flown that route long enough will tell you, everyone that's been at the stick, so to speak, that has set either as the pilot or the co-pilot, they know somewhere out across those chilly waters of the Atlantic, it is not a line drawn. It is nothing that you can point to and with your finger and say, right here at the rolling of that wave is the point of no return. But it's out there. Every pilot, whether he's coming from Heathrow to JFK or whether he's flying from JFK to Heathrow, they say there is a point out there that is in their mind. They know where it is. You can't see it with the naked eye. It's called the point of no return. What that means is, when you cross that line, if you got any kind of trouble, if anything's going wrong, you don't contemplate turning back because you've come too far. Whatever it is and wherever it is, that pilot knows. Out there across the Atlantic, if something begins to happen, you don't turn back. You just keep pressing on because it'll cost you to go back. You got a shorter distance ahead of you and a longer distance back. You might as well press on. Hallelujah. You might as well press on. Hallelujah. Amen. Here a few years ago, they were filling up with the fuel in Chicago O'Hare. And there had been a drastic mistake that had been made. And they had not planned and did not put enough fuel in for the trip over into Canada. It was not a short trip. It was a long trip across Canada. And somehow they that were measuring the fuel, they found out later, had made a mistake. And so the pilots lifted off from Chicago O'Hare, crossed that line between the United States and America, and began to make their way across Canada to a far distant airport. And while they were on their way to their shop, one of the engines shut down. And so they looked and said, man, the gauge just said, we're out of fuel. That's impossible. And so they began to lose altitude. The fuel was running low, and now they were running out of fuel. They radioed back, what can we do? And here was the report. We find you on the radar. It's too far back to Chicago. You can't turn back now. You're going to just have to press on. And they found them an airport and said, pray, man, pray. And thank God there was an airport that they could land in. They called those pilots heroes because they were able to bring it down. But they learned this lesson from the man in control watching the radar. He knows where it is. He knows the point. He understands from point A to point B. His eyes are on the radar. He's got you on the blimp. He sees where you are. And he was able to tell those pilots, turn back and you die. You gotta press on. Now tonight, I'm gonna have to do a little bit of snake hunting first. So bear with me. You might as well say, kill that snake. Oh my God, hallelujah. Nobody ought to want to play with a snake. Everybody say, kill that snake. If I lived in a house and there was a snake loose, I wouldn't climb into bed that night and go to sleep till that snake died. I said, if I knew there was a snake loose in the kitchen, my wife couldn't set me down to the finest meal until I killed that snake. I wouldn't sit down in my favorite comfort chair reading the Un-American Spaceman newspaper until I'd kill that snake. I'm telling you tonight, there comes a time, if you know there's a snake somewhere in the vicinity, it's time to kill that thing. Now, church, don't go get nervous on me. You ought to help me kill that snake. Hallelujah. There ought to be something that ought to rise up within your heart saying, this is my home. This is my church. And this is my heart. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Hallelujah. Praise God. People that have dealt with snakes long enough said you can smell them. I heard the truth of the matter is you can smell a cottonmouth. You can smell a water moccasin. It puts off an odor. If For about 4 weeks, I've just been sniffing the air. Because sometime I ain't sitting behind the wheel like a mechanic. Sometime I go snake hunting. And I've been feeling something for about 4 weeks. Sunday it got strong. You see, when the Lord began to talk about His coming back, He used some real strong terminology. Now, if you're going to talk about us all getting together for a Sunday afternoon brunch, you may not have to use your strongest language. You might say, we're going to have lunch at my house Sunday. Like for you to come over. If you can't make it, that's fine. I understand. We'll do it another time. You know what I'm talking about? Strong language. Said, we're going to have some people over. We'd like to have you come. If you don't come, I won't take it as a slight. We'll do it again. And you can come on over and be with us. But now when you begin to talk about the marriage supper of the Lamb, it's a whole different story. We're not talking about sitting down to tea and crumpets. We're not talking about sitting down to fried chicken or cool watermelon. When he began to talk about the sound of the trumpet, the church coming home, everybody walking that street of glory. When you began to talk about that supper, when he calls you to come and be with him, that's a whole different story. Oh, y'all not with me tonight now. You're not preaching with your pastor now. Hallelujah. When Jesus began to talk about the end of times, he wasn't talking about if you can come, come. And if you can't, we'll do it another time. He wasn't talking about we'll fry chicken this Sunday and you don't show up, we'll do it on another Sunday. He said, I want to talk to you about that final supper. When we all get together. When the graves are emptied. And the dead get up. And you which are alive and remain. You come to meet me in the air. And we go home together. I want to talk to you strong now. It's going to be like 10 virgins. He, I had a preacher friend the other night, had to sit up most of the night, long distance, dealing with a gentleman who had just gone through a severe tragedy. And nobody can empathize and sympathize like a preacher who's been through tragedy. And that dear friend of mine's been through tragedies. And this man kept him up for hours. Never has prayed, never has wanted God, never has called on God. He's a multimillionaire. He's never needed God. He lives in a massive home, a mansion. He's got a bowling alley down in the bottom of it. Got a big bar there with the finest of wine and champagne and liquor. He don't ever need God till the tragedy smote him and hit his home. And he calls the preacher. And you know what he says to the preacher? Why did God do this to me? Man, this guy wasn't even living for God. God didn't do nothing to him. He wasn't even thinking about God. He says, why does God do... You know what my preacher friend said? Why do people who never even give God a moment's thought, never even go to church, don't even pray, something bad happens to them, they say, why God? Why are you mad at me? Oh, God's not even their friend. Not even their Savior. Man, they're out there doing their own thing. He said, you're of your father. He said, you're of your father. The devil. Oh, man, that's strong talk coming out of the mouth of Jesus. Because, honey, when he talks about the Last Supper, we're talking about real serious business. We're not talking about this mushy-gushy stuff of living like you want to live and do what you want to do. And everybody will make it there. Sin ain't going to enter in heaven. Just not going to go there. Just will not be there. Oh, we're going to have a garment been washed white in the blood of the Lamb. that's for some of you. But you've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. He said, man, you were drunkards. You were prostitutes. You were evil. But you changed your way and you got right with God. You see, the Lord said, I'm going to talk about the ten best. I ain't going to talk about people never think about me. They never even consider me. Walking down the street, spitting and a cussing. They're not even in the picture. They're not even going to be considered. Because they never thought about me. They never wanted to come to my beautiful place. All they could think about was getting drunk, partying it up, doing whatever they want. We're not even talking about them. We're talking about the ten best. I'm going to show you how serious I am about this Last Supper. Talk to us, God. Talk to us. Everybody say, kill that snake. Man, I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nobody. You talk about me like Jill snakes. My wife loves to kill snakes. She took the truck one day with my son screaming, my God, Mama, my God, Mama, around that tree and around that tree chasing that big old snake. My son was so scared he thought they were all fixing to go home to glory. When I come bailing off the top of that hill making that turn the other day, and I said, my God, honey, was that a snake? She said, it was a snake. Go get it. I stopped right in the middle of the road. You know, honey, it's the truth. Shake your head up now. Don't sit there looking like an angel. I put it in reverse, backed over that thing. She said, you got it. You got it. And when I went to come back down and drive, she said, my God, it's crawling away. Go after it. And down in that ditch I went, just right up against that fence. Hallelujah. Amen. She said, it got away. I said, well, it probably crawled off and died somewhere. Praise God. You see, there comes a time in your life when you got to root out every weed. You got to pull out every piece of trash. And you got to kill every snake. You got to get peace in that home. You got to have husbands and wives loving one another. You got to have the love of God. Children got to be loving their parents. The joy of the Lord has got to fill that place. You got to kill a snake, honey. You can't live in the bed. Can't let it live in the bedroom. Can't let it live in the kitchen. Can't have it in the living room. You got to kill that thing. Because comes a time, you got to get everything. You got to get it all out of your life. Oh, my God. I'm going to tell you, ain't no snake in me going to live on the same spot at the same time. Hallelujah. I want you to know that's just the way it's going to be. Because I got a made up mind. He said there's 10 virgins. 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. If according to what he says, half of you going to make it and half of you ain't going to make it. Sitting right here in this auditorium. Oh, but let me give you a little bit better news than that. Hallelujah. There is a church that can be ready. I believe a pastor can love and preach. That if everybody will do what he says, 100%. Let the other pastor mess up. Let him not care. Let his whole congregation be lost. I ain't answering for that one. I'm answering for this one. I believe we ought to have every one of us in here wise. Come on, I said wise. Jesus said, if you're wise, get your drip. Get it full of all. That's your soul. Get it full of the Holy Ghost. You may be seated. I hear the talk. I dumb. I hear people talk. They say, you know, you go to Brother Clark's church. They like preaching. And he teaches. They have the word. They worship too much. Man, that is dead people. They sing and sing and sing and sing and worship until they break out in a sweat. I hear them say that. Said aerobics, forget it. You don't have to go to the YMCA. Go to Austin Tabernacle. Man, why get in there to some ungodly looking woman playing some ungodly looking music when you can get full of the Holy Ghost? And the Bible said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength. You're going to love Him, give Him praise and honor. You may be seated. Because every time we worship, all we're doing is getting our lamp full of oil. That's all we're doing. Just getting full of the Holy Ghost. That's why I walked in there tonight, and I stand right there, and I just cross the audience. I don't make the noise, but I do with my eyes. And I just scanned the audience, and I saw somebody said, had a bad day today. Didn't go too work too well at work. Oh, something wrong over here, now I got a problem here. But I watched as we got to singing. And you got at first it was just going through the motion. I ain't gonna do it. Because if you do, all you're doing is in the flesh. If I don't feed it, well, I'm not gonna do it. Well, let me ask you something. If you're going to worship God, are you going to worship Him in the flesh? You know, or in the, you got a celestial body already? Some of you try to make us think that, but we know you ain't angel yet. We're still in His body. The Bible said, don't matter what went on out there, when you come through the gates, come through with thanksgiving. Come through praising. Because you know what happens? You make yourself. Come on, flesh. Come on, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it anyhow. You hypocrite. That's all right, I may be. But get yourself by the nape of the neck. Because after a while, you're going to get to feeling better. The Bible said, with joy shall you draw from the wells of salvation. Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. Oh, and your old burdens, they get to rolling away. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So here's five in the church. What? Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. And the other five are sitting over saying, Fanatic. But I love you, Jesus. But I don't feel like loving you right now. But you know what I mean. You know me, God. I'll get with you one of these days. You know what happens? Now let me explain something to you folks here that I'm going to stop for a moment. The Bible said they all slumbered. And slept. Every one of them. Every one of them. You know what that means? That somewhere in your walk, you're going to nod out. They didn't sin. You just went to sleep standing on your feet. I mean, you're out. That's the way it is. I mean, you're gone. He said, everybody's going to do that sometime. But here's the difference. If you try with with everything you got. And you keep on trying with everything you got. Even when you get beat down, you're still on the firing line. Because the moment the call came, honey, you're right there. You're moving, man. You're on the move. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I got to talk to you, folks. You got to listen to me. Amen. Because sometimes, and when you just get your lights knocked out. Amen. Don't listen to that devil. It says, well, you're down, so you might as well go ahead and go do it. You might as well go ahead and live like that. No, don't you leave. Don't you hang right in there. Oh, I slipped on a nana peel and I went down for the count. But oh, when you hear that call, my God, if you'll keep on trying, if you'll keep on praying, if you'll keep on fasting, if you'll keep on trusting God. Y'all ain't catching it, but I really am giving you the point of no return. You're not locking in, but I really am telling you where it is. They got this dumb deal that comes out in the comment section. Find Waldo. Do any of you ever read the newspaper? Have you ever seen that Find Waldo? Oh, come on, get your hand in there. Don't act like that. Some of you sophisticated uptown. The rest of you never found Waldo? Well, what it is they got the biggest, dumbest scene. And somewhere in the middle of all that is Waldo. And I have gone cross-eyed. I hate that thing. I hate Find Waldo. But I'll do it. I said, this is the stupidest, dumbest, most ignorant. And I look around, make sure nobody's watching. Fine. Well, honey, in the middle of this message, I'm giving you some hints. And I'm telling you some things. I'm dropping some nuggets along the way. And some of you are not even picking it up. Where is that point of no return? Where is it, Brother Clark? Where is it? Come on, I want you to tell me. Draw it in the sand. I'm going to give you enough of it that you're going to know. You're just going to understand. Because when you get locked in with the one that's watching the radar, he already knows where you are. He already knows what's happening. And if you're with him, the five wives went to sleep, but when they heard the call is the preacher. The preacher says, everybody wake up. He's on his way. He's coming. He's coming. Jesus is coming back. Let me tell you something. I've had some people tell me, said, you are preaching more intense. I've been with you, Brother Clark, for 5 years. Some of you have been telling me I've been with you 10 years. I've never seen you preach so intense. I've never seen you preach with such drive. I'm going to tell you why. Because there is something stirring. I feel it in my soul, my God. I'm watching everything come to pass. Jesus is about to come. And the watchman that cried out, behold, he cometh. That's the preacher. The preacher's awake at midnight. He's telling everybody, get up. Come on, rise. But some of you, you're sleeping too long. You've had some time to make some things right. You may be seated. Here's what's happening. And we're coming to that point. Now, I'm telling you, man, things are going on, and they're going on fast. They're going on with the United Pentecostal Church. They're going on among preachers. They're going on in our meetings. They're going on in our business meetings. I'm telling you, things are happening right now. Things are going on in churches, man. Churches are going to have to make up their mind what they're going to be, which way they're going to go. They want to just go along on the run with this thing and tide and play with the rest of the world, or are they going to get ready for the sound of the trumpet? Ministers are making up their mind. Am I going to sleep with everybody? Or am I going to get up and sound the cry? What am I going to do? How am I going to live this thing? Things are getting settled right now, folks. We're not there, but we're coming real close to it. I'm talking to you now. Draw the line, Brother Clark. Tell me where it is. I'm telling you, we're getting close to this thing. Because the five foolish finally said, something's going on. I've been sleeping too long. I think I've been in the bed too long with this. Something's got me stirred up. Would you give me what you got? I'm going to tell you, other folks preach this different ways. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus never did rebuke the five wise, saying, you missed it. You should have given them what you had. He never did rebuke them. He never did. You know why? Because this is something you get for yourself. You want the Holy Ghost? You can have it. You gotta come get it. You want a consecration? You can have it. You gotta come get it. You want worship? You can have it. You gotta come get it. That's just the way it is. Nobody can give this to you. I can't do it for you. I can't. I'm sorry. I gotta worship God for myself. I can't worship God for my boy. I can't worship God for my wife. And I can't worship God for you. I'm sorry. Amen. I can't consecrate for my boy. He's got to do it for himself. I can't fast for my wife. She's going to have to do it for herself. This is one time concerning one dinner that we're not coming in couples. And we're not coming as a family. And we're not coming as a bunch of friends. We're coming one by one. Because Jesus said in that day, there will not be husbands or wives. There will not be men or women. You shall be as angels. In that day, Trace and I won't go together. We will know one another. That's my boy. He will know me as his dad. But in that day, all eyes are going to be on him. Oh, we shall be looking at him. Whew. Praise God. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus. Let's pray. Whew. Folks, I felt something. Hallelujah. Come on, let's pray. Oh, my. Come on, let's worship. Let's worship, everybody. Oh, I just felt the glory of the Lord in this tabernacle. Hallelujah. I just beheld Jesus. Come on, lift your hands and worship the Lord. Respond, saints. Respond to what we just felt in this building. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My. Everybody lift your hands and worship him. Jesus. Jesus. I said Jesus. I said Jesus. My Lord. Hallelujah. 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 And we shall see him as he is. And we shall be like him. Oh, my Lord. David said, I will be satisfied when I will awaken his likeness. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Hilobosu Konana Mayera Mosera Mosiana la Maya. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Don't you want to go? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go? How many really want to go? Where's that point of no return? Oh, is it riding on that next wave? Is it over that next hill? Is it around that next bend? Where is it? Is it one day from now? Where is that point of no return? Oh, Madabahaya. I'm telling you, it's on the radar screen. It's already on the map. He's watching it. He knows it. We can feel it in the spirit. Where is that point of no return? It's when you get so close to heaven that you can't go back. You can't turn around. No matter what's happening, you're pressing on to the prize of the high calling in God Almighty. Go back. I can't go back. Turn around. I can't turn around. Oh, my. My eyes are on the goal. I see it. It's out there. We're getting close. My Lord, out of my son. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You know where Austin Tabernacle's got to get? We got to get beyond that point. We got to go beyond that line. We can't be worrying about it. We can't be wondering about it. We can't be thinking about it. Amen. I'm fixing to answer you now. I'm fixing to talk to you now. Where is that point of no return? Whew. Talk to me, Brother Clark. It's where the Apostle Paul said, "For I am persuaded that nothing shall separate me from the love of God." What trial was it? What wave rolled in? Where did you see it, Paul? You don't see it like a line drawn in the sand. It's just something that gets settled in your spirit. And you know. You know. You know, you ain't gonna turn back. Oh my, Alabahaya. It gets in your brain. It gets in your heart. It gets in your hands. It gets in your feet. You know what? It's like Enoch. He just kept walking further and further with God. Until the Bible said the day came when Enoch was not. He was not, for God took him. One day, he walked past the garden. He went beyond the far distant woods. He just kept on walking. The Lord said, "Enoch, the sun's setting. Home's further that way than it is this way." Enoch, I took you a long way down this road. You want to go back or you want to come home with me? Oh God, it's closer home to heaven than it is back. Let's go home together. And the Bible said Enoch was not. God took him. Oh, that's the way this church is getting. Honey, we're getting closer and closer. Lift your hands right now and let's worship. Oh, I feel it in my soul. Where is that point of no return, Brother Clark?
Oh, the road is long, but it's not too hard. The battle is quick, but it's not too strong.
Somebody
and
worship.
I won't turn back. Oh, no.
Somebody worship.
I won't turn back.
Somebody worship.
The enemy's
it's when you lock in and you said nothing. Nothing back there.
Strong,
everything's a
hit
on me. Everything's
oh,
a hit on me.
The road is here, but it's not too long. The enemy's swift, but it's not too strong. And I won't turn back. Oh no, I won't turn back.
Oh, I'm going
Liberty's not too strong.
You ought to get up and come on up here and let God fill you again. You ought to get up and come on up here.
I won't turn back.
You ought to come on up here and let God fill you again. Come on, men. God's waiting on the men. Come on, men.
I won't turn back. No, no, no.
God's waiting on the men.
I won't turn back. Turn that, oh, no. The road is here, but it's not too long. The enemy's here, but it's not too long.
I need some men to get full of the Holy Ghost again. I need some men to get full of the Holy Ghost again. Come on, women. I need some women to get full of the Holy Ghost again.
Oh, no.
God's got me on the radar. Father, it's getting bad. What do I do? Press on. Press on. You cross that line. Can't go back. You gotta go on. Everybody lift your hands and worship right now. Everybody lift your hands and worship right now. Lift your hands and let the Holy Ghost fill you again. Lift your hands and let the Holy Ghost fill you again.
Oh, my God, 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 I won't turn back, oh no, no, I won't turn back, I won't turn back, I won't turn back, oh no, I won't turn back, I won't turn back, I won't turn back.
What another song that I've ever heard?
Come on, man, we need to get filled with the Holy Ghost again. Come on, sisters, we're stopping early. We really need to get filled with the Holy Ghost again. Right, get it again.
The road is up, but it's not too long. The end is new, but it's not too
long. We ought to get the Holy Ghost again. Praise Him right now. Would you praise Him? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, na 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 na. In the name of Jesus. Folks, we need to get the Holy Ghost all over again.
I won't turn back.
Die foolish.
Turn back.
Good people.
I won't turn back. Oh, no.
Church going people. Just not full of the Holy Ghost.
I won't turn back.
I
won't turn back.
Jesus.
I won't turn back.
Everybody listen to me now. In Acts the second chapter, the first verse, the 120. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set up on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. All 120. All 12 apostles. Did they get it? Did they get it? Did all of them get the Holy Ghost? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts the fourth chapter. They'd been brought in before the group because there'd been a man healed. They told them not to preach in the name of Jesus. They were mad. They were angry. So they went on back to the church. Oh yeah, Peter and John, they went on back to the church. Amen. All the church got together. Hallelujah. 31st verse. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. And began, they spake the word of God with boldness. Peter got the Holy Ghost again. John got the Holy Ghost again. The apostles got the Holy Ghost. The church got the Holy Ghost. They all got it again.
Again.
Oh, has anybody got the Holy Ghost tonight like you did the first time you got it? I'm talking to a church that's moving in the dimension of the supernatural. I'm talking to a people that's about to see signs and wonders. Come on, church. We got to get it again. I said we got to get the Holy Ghost again. I said we got to get the Holy Ghost again. You don't understand. This supper, this is the last supper. This is the marriage supper of the Lamb. You missed this one. You know what happened? The five foolish were on their way. You know what? They weren't going and getting drunk. They weren't on their way to go get partying. They weren't on their way to leave the church. They weren't even talking about backsliding.
They were on their way to get what they should have already gotten. And here's the problem. They passed a point of no return. By the time they heard the trumpet sound and turned around and ran back, the door was closed. Everybody look at me. I've been begging my men, pray. Please hit the prayer room. Please pray. Start praying in your house. Start coming up to church. I've been begging you. I've been pleading. I'm crying. I'm weeping. Pray. Everybody get up. Get up. Get your lamp. There's some oil to be had. It ain't too late to have a big old Holy Ghost prayer meeting. That's why we've been praying. I've been begging the women, pray. It's time to pray, ladies. Everybody come on, it's time to pray. Oh my God. Come on, lift your hands, let's pray again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Turn your house into a cathedral of praise and prayer. Oh my God, start getting up out of that bed at night. Come on, men. No time to be lazy now. Quit missing church. Oh my. Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.